The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Got an idea for a topic? Email us at newsmakers@krla870.com. That's newsmakers@krla870.com. Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Moreno, AM 870, The Answer.
John Kupal is the president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, and he joins us to talk about some of the stories in the news right now that, well, maybe we haven't had a chance to talk about. John Kupal, as always, it's great to have you on.
It's fun to be here, Larry. How you doing?
Let's start with, I guess it's out in the Inland Empire, Measure K, passed by the voters, that set a one-term limit on members of the Board of Supervisors, cut their pay from more than $200,000 per year to $5,000 a month. And guess what? Lawmakers, I guess the Board of Supervisors didn't like that. They were going to get their friends to help them. Walk us into this story of the voters overwhelmingly trying to rein in the politicians and how the politicians tried to push back.
Yeah, this is very interesting. And one of the most interesting things about this is that as a taxpayer group, we try to involve ourselves in all forums to represent the interests of taxpayers, both at the ballot box and in the courtrooms and in the legislature. And this particular controversy involves all three. First of all, we helped and had been advising a group called the Red Brennan Group in San Bernardino, who advanced an initiative to limit the terms of their Board of Supervisors and also to reduce their pay. And the county obviously hated that. They sued. And with the advice, and we filed an amicus brief in the case, that case was winding its way through the courts. And at the same time, so you have an exercise of the direct democracy, and then you have litigation where people who didn't like the initiative because it was viewed as a deprivation of their God-given political power. And then one of the persons who would stand to benefit from the status quo was Chad Mays, who is a sitting Republican, and I use Republican in quotation marks, assemblyman from that area, who, after he's termed out in the legislature, had his eyes, we think, and I'm not sure he's admitted it, on that Board of Supervisors for San Bernardino County. So he moved legislation to try to undercut Measure K. And we blew the whistle. We opposed that bill, and he kept on swearing up and down that it had nothing to do with Measure K, even though the bill only affected San Bernardino County. And he would say, look, this is not anything out of my own personal benefit. Well, finally, we forced him to amend the bill in the legislature to say that it would not affect any existing term limits measure. So that protected Measure K. So we have right now not a final ruling from the Court of Appeal, but a tentative ruling, which rarely gets overturned. So we're just waiting for that ruling to become final. But this is a victory for direct democracy. It's a victory for the great taxpayer advocates in San Bernardino County. Again, the Red Brennan Group. And a victory for the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association and our lobbyists.
Yeah.
So I think this is this was a good outcome, and it just goes to show that you, if you're a taxpayer advocate, you have to be prepared to fight in all forums that you possibly can.
You sure do. Again, going from $200,000 a year to $5,000 per month, it's still enough to survive on. But government's not supposed to be your be all end all in life. You go there and latch on to it forever, and the voters there, you say by 66.84% said, no, we want to do one term. We don't want you running around.
It, It was a real squeaker.
Yeah, it was a squeaker. But then it faces challenges in the courts. It faces, you know, this legislation that comes along, and you knocked it down. So that's a good story. All right, let's do some others. What is this story floating around that somebody's alleging Prop 13 is racist? The legislation passed by Howard Jarvis back in the, what was it, 70s, early 70s? I forget what, mid-70s, late
70s? 1978.
Okay, late 70s, that really helped limit property tax from exploding on people. And people, you know, my parents could afford to stay in their home and live their life. I imagine a lot of other people could. And it resets when the place sells. So, I mean, the government ultimately gets their due if they want to call it. And I guess, what is about 7 years the average time people own a house? I don't know. But if you want to stay, you should be able to stay and not be squeezed out.
Exactly right. Well, you know, ever since 1978, the criticisms against Proposition 13 by the tax and spend lobby have been relentless. They claimed it was just a corporate thing, and then they claimed it wasn't generating enough revenue, even though property tax revenues in California, per capita property tax revenues, are at 14th out of 50 states. We are a high property tax state, even with Prop 13. It generates tons of money for education, so the idea that it hurt education. All these arguments have been asserted, and the voters and the courts have rejected all those arguments. So for the progressives, for the ultra-left, when you've run out of all arguments, what's the one thing you play?
Yeah, the race
saying
card.
It's racist.
It's racist.
Yeah, you play the race card. Well,
what did they argue?
Nobody's buying it.
But what were they trying to say?
I think they were trying to say that the most of the benefit to Prop 13 goes to businesses and non-minorities, which, given the fact that non-minorities are overrepresented in home ownership, they say, look, they're getting the lion's share of the benefit. What they fail to acknowledge is how Prop 13 is especially beneficial to minority communities, because the African-American community, the Asian community, Hispanic community, these are demographics that have not been able to build up intergenerational wealth. And Prop 13 allows them to do that. And in fact, as you know, this big battle we had over Prop 19, the ability to pass your property on to your children and grandchildren without triggering reassessment, some of our biggest allies were the minority communities, because, again, they saw this as their only ticket to build up intergenerational wealth.
Right.
So this nobody bought it. In fact, it was a story, Larry, for about 3 days, and it's going to be another thing that they kind of cough up like a hairball every now and then.
It's a nothing burger is what they call it.
It's easily disproven by things called facts and logic and reason.
Yeah. All right, now, take us into the wealth tax. A tax has been proposed on the wealthy to help fund fighting supposed climate change, and a strange bedfellow. Explain this story. What's going on with this wealth tax?
Yeah, it's interesting. Again, we at Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, we always defend taxpayers, and sometimes we have strange allies because our interests align. Even with some groups that we almost never aligned with. But this is an example of that. There is a measure on the ballot, Proposition 30, this coming November. We're not waiting till 2024 for this. This is this November, and it is a tax on high-wealth individuals. I forgot what the cutoff is. I think it's like above $5 million a year. So you're thinking, I'm not making $5 million, but As we know from the original federal income tax, it started out as a 1% tax on the super, super wealthy back then, and look how it's morphed into a much bigger tax. But this is a tax on high wealth individuals, and it's being sponsored by a corporation, Lyft, which is going to use the money to, under the auspices of climate change, because they're going to build infrastructure, recharging stations. And they get a direct benefit from this, and they'll probably end up putting in $100 million for this thing. But interestingly enough, in a lot of the environmental groups support them. Interestingly enough, Gavin Newsom and the California Teachers Association has come out in opposition, I think for various reasons. For Gavin Newsom, I think he runs in some very wealthy circles, and I think he's got some friends who probably went to him and said, Gavin, California already has the highest marginal income tax rate in America at 13.3%. You got to kill this thing. And I think CTA didn't like it because CTA views any potential tax increase as their domain. And I believe under this particular tax increase, they would not be getting, they meaning the education establishment, the monopoly that they have, would not be getting their slice of the 40% under Prop 98. So interesting that the CTA, the Teachers Association, didn't like it because it wasn't their initiative and they want to do their own tax increase. We don't like it because we just don't like tax increases, period.
Can you imagine?
So that's where we are.
Hey, I'm opposed because if anybody's going to raise your taxes, I want to raise your taxes, and it's not me, so I'm opposed. Interesting.
Yeah, that's like the bank robber running into another bank robber saying, how dare you rob this bank? This is my turf.
Go on to another corner. Get the next bank.
Yeah, it's like a protection racket.
All right, this may not be in your lane, but I got to talk about it because it's been floating around the news, and that's the truckers and AB5. Have you been following AB5? For those who don't know, is this rule that is forcing so many people to fit the model of a traditional employee. And, of course, that has to do with the taxes, right, and how we pay them. And,
right.
And, but the truck drivers, they own their own rigs. They pay their own insurance for them. And yet they don't fit the state's thing, and apparently they can't get certain business in California unless they're an employee, and they don't want to be employees.
That's right. And they just conducted a protest on some of the ports. I know they had a protest up here in Oakland, the Oakland port. I believe they had one down at Long Beach as well. And they slowed down an already restricted supply chain. I don't blame them. I'd be really ticked off because these are independent individuals, men and women, who like owning their own rig, and they don't want to be classified as employees, and they don't want to answer to any one boss.
John Cabal, Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Give the website how people can support you.
Sure. We are a fully member-supported organization, hjta.org. That's hjta.org. We take no government support. We are supported only by our members. Our dues are $15 a year. Go on our website. Join us.
All right. I want to thank you, John Cabal. Appreciate you there. And, of course, we read you in your column in the Orange County Register. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry. Always a pleasure.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.